You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.
Who wants to have some fun?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Right now, there are 600 Titleists that I got from the driving range in the trunk of my car.
Can we get on with it?
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
These reports you handed in, it's almost as if you have no business training at all.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. It's a Friday afternoon.
Mailing it in. We've had a great show so far. Brian Dawkins was on. We're going to have Austin Matthews' agent coming up here shortly.
Yeah, a few minutes.
Ray Ferraro.
It's just been a great show.
Yeah, it's been a good show. We're going to bring back Level of Concern because there's no level of concern for me when it comes to the Toronto sports scene right now, at least for the Maple Leafs and the Raptors, right? The Jays are a very different story.
Yeah, that's another.
Argos are done. They play tonight. Speaking of which, Carlo Colaiacovo was supposed to kick at halftime.
Give us some background here on this.
All right, so Carlo has been very eager to get out and partake in basically anything he can partake in, which I think is pretty cool. Like he showed up.
Gear down and run through a mall.
He'll do anything right now. It's great.
Anything.
Like the 905, they had open tryouts, and they had their coach in studio on First Up, and Carlo was like, well, can I come out? And the guy's like, yeah, I guess. So he went out.
How did he do?
I think he actually performed pretty well.
No injury.
Did not get injured, which was an important thing to point out.
Exactly.
And I don't know who they were talking to. Maybe it was Bill Manning. They have Bill Manning on a lot on First Up. And somehow Carlo talked himself into kicking at halftime at the Argo game tonight.
Like what, a field goal?
Yeah, just a field goal, like a 35-yard field goal. I don't know what the promotion was. I don't know what was going on with it. And I guess they went to BMO yesterday, and the guy blew his thigh out. Like he tore his quad or whatever. So now he's not kicking.
But did they like wheel him into the studio this morning? Or
he was
like...
here this morning. I was listening this morning. He was on crutches. But like we all love Carlo. I've known Carlo for over 20 years, for 25 years. He had injury problems throughout his career. I think that's safe to say. I don't think that's taking a shot at our boy.
Dude, the guy's my brother. Like, I love the guy, but he is injury prone. if you want to get in deep, he's a bandit. He gets hurt.
Yeah.
His quad out taking a kick.
Right. Like, even something that's just for fun. It's not hockey related.
Yeah.
He can't get on the field.
Like, you know how in commercial breaks you like to shoot hoops on that little mini hoop over there?
Yes, dominate.
He would blow his shoulder out.
I'm worried about that in the morning because they always post it on the Instagram account, him shooting.
But so you know him very well. I don't know Carlo very well, but I've been chatting with him on the phone and stuff, but... Is he clumsy?
It doesn't
seem like he's...
No.
It seems
not
like he's very coordinated,
guy.
Very...
No, his body let him down.
That's what it is. Does he have the body of an 85-year-old man?
He's a thoroughbred.
He's always been just one of those guys naturally cut.
Just great shape.
And in good shape. But just, he's Brett Laurie. He's Joffrey Lupul. And now it's following him to radio.
Like he's going to get hurt on air somehow.
I'm worried about that. He's going to blow out like his
fall
vocal
out the
cord
chair
or something.
Fall out.
And, you know, Scotty Mack, bit of a troll job last night because he mentioned that Carlo blew out his quad.
Yeah.
Actually playing sports, and then he mentioned that he blew out his back in the spring. Scotty Mack did, but he was biking, and then he threw me into the mix.
Said you, what?
I blew out my knee standing off the ground, which I didn't think the details were necessary at that point. I mean, we all have our injuries; we don't need to know how ridiculous the details of how it happened or why it happened. Those don't have to be included, but they were.
It happened. I mean, I slipped my disc.
But you were doing something, weren't you?
I had run 5 miles that day, and that was kind of my routine. I was enjoying running, and I was getting up to, 4 miles, minimum 4, up to 5. Had a really good run that day, and came home, stretched, did my stuff, and I was actually driving up to Kleinberg to check out the lot and that, and I sneezed. And that's where you can slide your dip. Like something happened that it shifted.
But I don't think I ever heard that.
Yeah, like something
you
shifted.
You sneezed and
it was
blew your back
like,
out?
Something vi- like something violent, like I was getting out of the car and sneezed or something, and I felt something like lock, and I was like, uh-oh, this is, and I thought it was back spasms. I could feel something coming on, but that at that point,
you
got to
alter
done.
That detail, man.
Yeah.
You can't admit the sneezing.
Well,
your
I believe it
I'm
happens.
The same way on overdrive as I was playing in the NHL. Guys would be like, oh, you know, you're not 7% body fat. You know what? Those guys would always be missing games. Groins.
You miss days here, though.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Not for injury and stuff, just for personal reasons. You take personal days. So that's how you played, maybe. You take a personal day.
How many personal days in the NHL did you take?
What? There's no such thing as a personal day in the NHL.
That's true.
You guys act like I take all these personal days. I don't.
No.
No, you don't.
But you're right. You have not technically been injured. All right, we've
true.
Got...
Okay, you blow out your back, you blow out your hammy.
My knee.
I'm here.
I'm here. Snowboarding injury.
You're a pillar
knocking
of health.
On wood for you.
Pillar of health. Here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
I'm listening to this, the injuries that you guys have all endured. Has anybody been more injured doing next to nothing than Duffy?
Well, flag football is very strenuous, isn't it?
Well, he was on the panel for how long, with his finger in a splint?
Yeah, he was Freddy Got Fingered. He was Edward Scissorhands. He had this contraption.
And then the one year he's hobbling around there, and we're like, what happened? Oh, I was playing flag football. I pulled my hamstring. Oh, for crying out loud. Like, suck it up, pal.
Yeah, like sometimes he'll like put his leg up on the desk and be doing this leg stretch, and it's just like, what's the matter? He's like, oh, you know, blew out this. And it's like, dude, you're not even an athlete. But play flag football with your loser buddies.
No, but isn't it a 50 and over league or something? Because I remember being down.
Yeah,
at
people
the
and Jamie, people don't understand that Duffy's not like 35. Like the guy's 50 something years old.
Yeah, he pretends he is.
Because,
he's just not.
Because there was a famous guy who walked by. I can't remember. It was like a drummer of a big band or something, and a little bit older, like 68 or something. Duffy's like, yeah, he plays in my flag football league. I'm like, that guy's
really
fragile.
Like Neil Peart?
I can't remember who it was. We were at, now it was the old ACC, and it was during the, like it was a famous person, because I said to Duthie, I'm like, you know him? He's like, oh yeah, I know him very well. We play flag football together.
No way.
Wow. They're going to move from that league straight into the backgammon league. They're going to be pushing little board pieces around pretty soon.
It's a natural transition.
Who it was.
So you'll love this. I've got a ridiculous poll question up on Twitter.
Not your first.
No, it's not. And with the way people have been reacting to your takes this week, once you give your take, it'll be all over the place. So I'm looking forward to this. I mean, the Leafs are on fire. You were in the building last night. The third period was what it was, but another 5 goals, 2 goals for Matthews, 4 assists for Tavares, 4-point night for Marner. Riley's beating records held by Bobby Orr. Like, it's getting ridiculous. Most likely to happen this season. Riley leads the league in points for defensemen. Matthews scores 55+, or 3 Maple Leafs end up in the top 10 in scoring.
Oh, well, see, that's not ridiculous. You have way dumber questions than that.
Yeah, but
I mean, like this, I don't think he'll lead, Riley will lead the league in points by a defenseman. And it just doesn't. It seems like somebody will top him, although he's going to get a pile of second assists on the power play. You know, he's going to make a breakout pass to Marner, and Marner's going to slither through 3 guys and throw 1 goal crease, and it's in. I think Matthews is going to get 50 goals this year. 55, that's a lot. I'm going to go with the 3 in the top 10.
Really?
I was leaning towards that. I was telling Brian, like, Ovi scored 9 goals in his first 5 games last year, because he went hat-trick and then 4 or vice versa. He had 7 in his first 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got 49. And I still think Ovi is the greatest goal scorer of our generation. And if Matthews can get 50... being surrounded by a talented group, like I think it's certainly possible. 55 is really rich. I think Morgan will get caught by somebody. Doesn't mean he's not going to have an amazing season. It's just as possible. Top 10 in scoring, I could see it. I could see Tavares, Marner, and Matthews being right there. I was teasing Brian, why didn't you put all of the above as a
as an option? Well, because you know, Leaf fans are just, they would hammer that vote.
Like, I know, just but
to be positive and people are having fun. I mean, it, in all likelihood, the answer that is most likely is none of the above.
It's most likely.
Like, that's the most, that's the point of this poll, is that you're forced to make some sort of a reasoned decision, even though
so then you
your instincts would
none
say
none of the above.
Yeah, but that
I mean,
should
gotta,
run away with
think,
it.
You got to think that, like, to get three in the top 10, obviously you're only going to have seven other guys in the league in there, and you're like, man, there's some pretty damn good players that you can get to seven other guys pretty quickly.
Yeah.
To be in the top 10. I mean, like I don't even, in the third period, they were standing around last night. Like, they got outshot rather heartily in the third period. And a couple of goal, like the one play there, Vanek hit the post and then Larkin hit the same post on the same play.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They were kind of standing around, yet they still got five goals. And I know they're not playing record beating teams right now, but they can only play who's in front of them. And if you really look at their division, in their division, there's two really good teams. There's Boston and there's Tampa.
Yeah.
You know, that they have to play. And then in the other division, how many are really terrifying to them? I mean, there's some decent teams. You know, Pitt's going to have to straighten out their goaltending and whatever's going to happen there. I mean, Wash is, you know, it's going to have a terrific year, although they got their teeth handed to them yesterday. Philly, I don't know. Brian Elliott was complaining that the goalie gear, they're getting bruises, so he fixed that by giving up eight.
By not getting hit by it.
Yeah, get any bruises.
I still,
smart strategy.
I still, my heart goes out to him because any coach that leaves their goalie in for eight, that pisses me off.
Why do you do that? Like, why would you do that?
What?
Like, you don't want to embarrass him? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just, at six, like, get him out of there. Like,
no, but I'm just saying, is it embarrassing to take him out at six, so he says, okay, I'll just let him finish?
I think they played the next night, too, which they were thinking just...
They played in Ottawa.
They got to roll it out and finish this.
But why not give Pickard some free minutes, like, just to settle in with his new teammates? Like, to me, mop-up duty sometimes is a backup. Like, I would argue, if Garrett Sparks, and I'll bring it back to the Leafs, because this is a great segue, if Garrett Sparks isn't scheduled to start, let's say, till what, the early November?
Like November 10th is the first back-to-back.
So if there's a night that's just an off night for the Leafs coming up in the next five or six games, you get Sparks in there to give him some free minutes to see the puck, see the, you know, get that game timing. And that's what I would have done with Pickard. He was going to start the next night anyways. Put him in for 15 minutes. It didn't matter. The game was over. Like, I don't understand that thought process. To me, if Pickard didn't have his gear on, or they were going to dress the mascot in that position, somebody should have gone in and relieved Brian Elliott, because that was embarrassing. And I felt bad for him, regardless of him complaining or not. Like,
What I don't get is, so the players all play two games in two nights.
Right.
So why can't the goalie play a period and then three periods the next night? Like, is it that taxing? I mean,
no.
I had to skate around 18 minutes both nights. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, he could have handled it. It's not like Pickard couldn't handle it. It sucked for him. I mean, the home opener, and you all want it to go well, and the only thing that was any good was old Gritty.
Yeah, and people have had enough of him already.
Yeah.
It me, Gritty.
I'll put my hand up on that. Like, Gritty was fun for about a week and a half.
He's had enough of him.
Yeah, I will be fine if I never see Gritty again.
I think it looks like Jake Voracek. Like, exactly like Jake Voracek.
I'm sure he's thrilled with that comparison.
Yeah, he'd be real happy about that. We were going to bring back, and we will do this a little bit later on, a game called Level of Concern. It was the hottest game in the city a few years ago when the Leafs were a tire fire. We were playing it basically every day. What's your level of concern that Peter Horacek is the coach right now? But we're gonna apply this to the Edmonton Oilers. We'll get your take on this, because they lost last night. They have not looked very good through two games. They're in New York tomorrow. Then they go to Winnipeg. Then they're finally home, and the games that they play at home, Boston, Nashville, Pittsburgh, Washington, and then on the road for a back-to-back at Nashville, at Chicago. What's your level of concern if you're the Oilers right now that you may start the season like 2-8?
How are we rating this? Like out of 10?
Well, okay, take
drink,
you through the
six well, pack, 12 pack, 24 pack.
Yeah, there's the level of concern. It goes with a couple of beers, a six pack, a 12 pack, a 24 pack, and then there's
the Natty Light 77 pack.
The 77 pack, and then there's Nick Cage in Vegas.
I'll go with 12.
12 pack?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good night.
Their D's not going to get any better in the next couple of days. Their right side is still going to be completely inexperienced. They appear to be not a one-line team, a one-person team offensively. I mean, they lose two games, it's fine, but it's the way they lose, right, that makes it concerning.
Yeah, game one was McDavid, two assists, and then game two, it's like McDavid, great goal, and then there's not a whole lot else.
You know, so that's what, I mean, those are the concerning points for me. That's not an easy schedule. That's for sure. Maybe they play better at home when they're terrified of getting their lunch handed to them. Like maybe they do play better at home. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have to hope for that.
Well, I mean, Todd McClellan's got to be hitting the LCBO or whatever the equivalent is in Alberta.
He's close to being Nick Cage.
Yeah, because, I mean, fairly or unfairly, in Vegas, I'd be shocked if there was anyone ahead of him in terms of the odds for the first coach that's going to go. And if they start 2-8, I mean, what else can you do? I mean, they didn't make any moves over the offseason because of the cap, and everything went against them last year, and they're banking on a wave of positivity this year, which I can understand.
But, you can?
Well, listen,
I'm a
because
six-pack.
I can't. This is why I can't, Brian. Is they missed the playoffs? What, 7-8 years in a row? They made the playoffs and then they missed. So what makes you think that the making the playoffs was the norm? That's the outlier year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, McDavid won the Art Ross both years, but like, are they? They don't. I don't know. When I look at them, I don't go, "Oh yeah, that's a playoff team." I go, "Man, they got a lot of holes there."
Well, for me, the goalie can play better. Their D can play better. Like, Adam Larson was brutal last year and had personal issues, obviously, with his father passing. Lucic was brutal last year. Strom didn't settle in. Like, there's a lot of, like, guys that need to play better up to their potential. And then you see what you have. Like, Jesse Puljujarvi. Mm-hmm. That's a fourth overall pick. At some point, the lights either got to go on or there's no light there. Like,
well,
some of the things.
I think they got it. Okay, you got this kid. You want to develop him, and you know, and so they play him a game up with Draisaitl, and then the next game he's on the fourth line. Like, give him five games. Like, let him not be terrified, or let him figure out what the hell he's supposed to do. Because you guys know when we got yanked all over the lineup, it sucked.
Well, he was
brutal
yesterday.
You're trying to do something you're not.
He wasn't very good yesterday. I think they played him 10 minutes yesterday. He looked, that Bouchard kid looks like he'll be all right, but he looks like a junior kid right now, which where he should be.
Right, he's 18.
You know? But that's what they've got right now. And to me, guys have to either turn the corner or you not move past him, but that right side, that Yamamoto, he looks like he's smaller than Mitch Marner looked when Mitch Marner first started. Mm-hmm. Now, Mitch Marner's bigger than people think. That's the one thing. I think that's a misnomer. I think
he's taller than you think.
Yes. When Marner skates and when he first started, you're like, this guy is 5'6". But he's not. He's taller and he's starting to get stronger. Yamamoto looks like he's
a kid.
He's borrowed somebody's gear.
Right.
Like
yeah, so the rest of the right side is Cassian, Puljujärvi, and Ty Ratti.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Like, that's not a very good right side.
No.
They've got no experience. The one guy that has experience is Cassian.
Yep. He's farther down in your lineup.
And you look at the way that McClellan is dispersing minutes, albeit it's two games and separated by a week, so guys are fresh. But McDavid played almost 24 minutes last night. Nugent Hopkins, I think, played close to 23. Draisaitl hit plus 20. And then Lucic was around almost 18. No one else hit 15. Like, it's basically McClellan's like, I got four guys I think I can play, and then I don't know what else I'm supposed to do.
But yeah, they hadn't played, and they've played two games in 3 weeks.
No, I know, but I don't play them. I don't think it's a smart strategy. Like, I would get McDavid out 20 minutes a night. 24 minutes. Like, that, at some point, you got to rely. You have to have some depth that you can play.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to. You know, you can't have three guys playing 23 minutes and then the rest of the team barely playing.
I still, no, oh, sorry,
Pitt
Ray, go ahead.
Pitt does it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Pitt plays their big boys a lot. You know, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, they play a lot. And so maybe that's what he thinks he's got. I mean, when, you know, Jamie mentioned Strome before, and, you know, they tried him on right wing. Now he's back in the middle, and he's at a point where, I mean, you got to be a real player, or there's going to always be questions that dog you. That's kind of where he is.
Still comes back to the goalie for me. Cam Talbot has to be what he's capable of, if that's what he's capable of.
But what is he capable of? Are you saying he's got to be 93%?
No, or, but he's got to be, he better, can't be, saying, he's got, right? If he plays to his career save percentage average, that's all, you know, like.
But like, what is that, average, though? Because he's kind of a microcosm of the Oilers based on the way that Ray just detailed it. He was a backup his whole career. Finally gets a chance to start, 73 games, an unbelievable season. And then the next year he's brutal, no, but it's like, what is he?
The second season, so his first season was inconsistent, and from January on was excellent, then the 73, then last year.
So then even more of an outlier, the one season he had, where he was really, really
There's
solid.
There's about 18 months where he was elite.
But I mean, is that what he is, or?
That's where you're trying to, that's what I was saying to off air. You got to figure out what this guy is. Because he's going to be unrestricted this summer, he's playing for a contract. Like that's to me, it all stems in goal. We all know that if you have confidence in the guy back there, you can make saves. Look at Chicago. You know, I love Jeff Glass. I love Forsberg. Those guys they didn't get it done in Chicago. LA's running Jack Campbell. And I know Jack's a good guy and worked very hard with Dusty Emu, their number two goalie coach there. But at some point, if Quick's gone for months on end here, LA's going to have a dip. Like, that's you're looking at stability in the net. And I don't see any stability from Cam Talbot right now.
Well, I mean, it feels like deja vu for the Oilers.
If
like
it's
that,
same
and
as
that's got to be terrifying for them.
Two of the best highlights of the night last night came from that game. So
yeah.
But unfortunately, it was one each way, right?
Well, that Pastrnak goal we set off the top. That might be the best goal of the year, and we're a week into the season.
That was unreal. When you said about the concern, I thought you were going to have, what's your level of concern about some of the Leafs?
Well, I mean,
because it's kind of been hidden by, you know, the offense that
like farther down in the lineup. You mean like the bottom six?
I mean, Marlowe's not really been very good yet. Jake Gardner, I'm not real sure what he's doing. Like, he, as I said yesterday, he set up scoring chances at each end in the first 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, he did.
Golden opportunities both ways.
He's the guy that generates the most.
He doesn't have a shot this year, I don't think.
He has not registered a shot on net, which
it just seems like he's possible. It just seems like he's, I'm not a part of this. Maybe I'm moving on. Maybe I'm.
But what
it
if
seems
it's
like his head is elsewhere?
Uninterested.
What if it's Game 7? He shook. Like, is that possible? Like, is that, like, he was so bad, and everyone was like, you know what? And credit him. He came out and admitted to it. And he sat there and talked to the media, and you move on and all that. But that was such a catastrophic game for him. Is it possible?
Yeah, I think Ole's got it right. I said this to Chris Cuthbert last night. Oh, exactly what you said. I wonder if he's looking at this going, look, I'm not back next year. Like, I can do a little bit of math. Yeah. And
how can I put my heart into this?
Like, what am I, you know, I'm just kind of here. And it shouldn't be like that, but I'm not criticizing him for it too, because I know I would feel the same way. Like, wait a minute. Everybody else is getting looked after. I understand I'm not going to get looked after, but man, that kind of sucks.
Nice
I'm
to have
a bone.
Guy,
yeah,
you
know.
But, well, so that may be the case, but
to it, though.
He better knock that off real quick because they need him. right? And he needs to perform. Like, he's going to make some money. There's, regardless of what happens, based on his talent, and he's got a long enough track record. But if he's a disaster all year, it affects the contract negotiation. I mean, he's got to be better. It's only five games, but he has been borderline invisible. When he shows up, it's generally not for a good purpose.
No, there were a couple of things that, you know, on the negative side last night that, you know, that jammed out at me, you know, because they've happened a few times. One is Marlowe was really quiet, like not really involved in anything. That was one. Number two is Gardner's play that just has not been anywhere close to what he normally is. And three is every game, Ron Hainsey gets beat bad somewhere. And, I mean, they need him. Mm-hmm. He plays a lot of minutes for them in a tough spot for him at his age and the way the game's going. He got beat at the blue line late in the game. He ended up, you know, kind of on his nose almost. And it all worked out fine. And then, he got the break on the empty net goal. But it's like it's pretty frequent. And he took the hooking penalty. I'm trying to think who the forward was. It might have been Afanasiou that went by him in the middle of the ice, and he got a stick into his legs. You know, like he was too quick for him. And I'm like, you know, those are a couple of things that I look at that, you know, not everything's so rosy, even though they're an absolute scoring machine.
Mm-hmm. There's an orgy going on. Guys got to get involved.
You look at things a little different, but, you know, you're probably not wrong.
Yeah. Someone rang the doorbell.
Get on in there.
Time to get in the game. All right, Ray. We'll leave it on that happy note.
Well, have a good weekend, boys, and make sure you watch your Red Sox.
We will. Weekend. We look forward to it.
No, you don't. You're lying.
No. I'm an NLCS kind of guy.
Milwaukee?
Yeah. I'd love to see the Brewers beat up on the Dodgers. I don't think it's going to happen, but Milwaukee would be a really cool story.
Anything that brings Bob Uecker back in, I'm all for it.
Yes, the great Bob Uecker. The great Bob Uecker. I'm with you on that. All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
You guys, too. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I mean, listen. For the most part, it's all rosy. The Leafs are 4-1. They're breaking records. They're scoring points. There are some outliers. Ron Hainsey, I don't think it's a debate anymore. This guy, it's unfair to put him in the position where he's playing 20 minutes a night against the best players in the league. He's not a top-pairing guy. He knows it. I'm sure he knows it. I'm sure Babcock knows it. But it's the reality of the scenario they find themselves in. Gardner, if he's pouting a little bit, you know, it's human nature, but he's got to get over it at some point. Because he's important. Like, he's a really important piece. Regardless of where he's playing next year, he's got to perform for them.
What about your bottom and your lineup?
I still think you get Johnsson in at some point, and I think he's got more to give.
Let's get it back into it.
Yeah, and Nylander's still going to have to join the team at some point. You would think. I mean, Babcock took a bit of a backhanded shot at that last night when Willie decides to come back. Jeff Blum will join us, longtime MLB infielder, Astros analyst as well, looking ahead to the championship series in the NL and the American League. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes. All right, Overdrive has a pair of tickets for the Leafs taking on the Penguins on October 18th. Every day this week, we have been providing you with a clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. Today is the final clue, and once we reveal that final clue, the phone lines will be open at 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. If you're the first one in to call in with the player that we have been alluding to all year, or all week, I should say, you're going to see Leafs take on the Penguins October 18th. The final clue of the week. This Maple Leaf defenseman has also played for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Atlanta Thrashers, and the Carolina Hurricanes. Well, we're really making you work.
Yeah, exactly.
416-870-1050. The phone lines are open. If you're the first one in, good luck. Leafs Pens, October 18th. The NLCS kicking off tonight. Clayton Kershaw in action for the Dodgers, taking on the Brewers. The ALCS kicking off this weekend. And to chat about a number of things pertaining to the championship series and some other stories coming out of baseball, here is longtime MLB-er, current analyst with the Houston Astros. Here's Jeff Blum. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing really well. Thank you for doing this. You guys must be feeling pretty good down in Houston. I mean, it seems like even though Boston won all those games this year and kind of lapped the field in a way, Houston appears to be the favorite in the American League, maybe even for the World Series. How do you feel about that prediction?
I feel pretty good, actually, and it's pretty amazing that when we started out this round of playoffs that a lot of people pointed that Indians-Astros series as maybe being the series to watch, and then the Astros went out and just absolutely blew through a very good Cleveland Indians team, and now they're up against the Boston Red Sox, who, you know, set a team franchise record with 108 wins, and then so did the Houston Astros with 103. But it's amazing to me, as good as the Houston Astros are, that they are still as good as the Red Sox are, the Astros are still considered the favorite. And a lot of the reason is because of the stellar pitching and the timely hitting they get.
Well, that's kind of what's happening here with baseball. It's like an old school versus new school philosophy.
Not a bad recipe, by the way. Stellar pitching, clutch hitting.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's always worked for over 100 years. But you look at it's even more amplified in the NLCS, where the Dodgers have these stud starting pitchers like Kershaw. Put him through the rotation three times, four times. Who cares? If he can pitch a complete game, do it. Verlander, if he can go into the seventh or eighth, you get the ball. Keuchel, seventh or eighth, you get the ball. And that's kind of the conventional way of running your rotation. Don't be waiting to get to the bullpen. If the starters can do it, let them do it. Where other teams, including Milwaukee, are like, if I can get to the bullpen, I'm doing it. I'll start someone out of the bullpen if I have to in the first inning. How do you feel about kind of the old school versus new school philosophy that we're seeing when it comes to pitching in particular in the playoffs?
You know what? I think it is so unique, and that's part of what is making baseball fun. We're kind of seeing that evolution of analytics come into the ballgame. It's unique to see the Milwaukee Brewers doing the bullpenning, so to speak, with the openers and guys not going those extensive outings. It's interesting to me because David Stearns, the GM of the Milwaukee Brewers, actually came from the Houston Astros and brought a lot of those philosophies over, and now he's in the NLCS vying for a chance to possibly play against the Houston Astros in the World Series using some of those analytics. But on the other hand, you take the Houston Astros, who, you know, glorify the numbers and glorify the data and the information that these guys have, yet they go out with studs that can go seven innings at a time, like you said, and keep them in the ballgame as long as they can, because those guys are the best option. That's even as good as the bullpen is for the Astros. Their best option is to go out there and have those guys pitch extensive innings because they are so good. And then the Boston Red Sox, they have a couple of good starters, but it's really their middle relievers that create the issue for them if Alex Cora has to get them out of the game sooner.
Can you describe the analytics aspect of it as far as the in-game stuff? You got a couple old school hockey players here where we know coaches that coach in the NHL, and there's people from up above that come down there with pieces of paper saying this is what's got to happen as far as analytics, and we both know that they grab the papers and they tear them up and rip them up and throw them in the garbage. As far as baseball goes, how does it work? Does someone come to the skip and say this is what's best, or I just don't know how it works?
It's basically that. It's funny, in Minute Maid Park, there's a glass window when the roof closes that you can see out of left field, and behind that left field wall is the front offices, and that's where the nerd herd is, the geek squad, if you want to call them that, where they're up there crunching the numbers and putting in, you know, all the algorithms to crank out what they call win probability. And what they're trying to do is give the team, with the personnel they have, the best opportunity to match up and win against the team they're playing against. Once they get those numbers, they will send them down to the manager, A.J. Hinch. And A.J. Hinch, who has experience in the front office realm, it's his job to get his coaches together, figure out what information works for him, and then they bring it to the table for these guys who are going to be stepping in the box and relying on a lot of the old, you know, just the talent. And a lot of the times the numbers can't go out there and play every day. That's why managers, and I'm with you as far as the old school, that's where the old school mentality really kicks in and helps out the analytics, because they're in the dugout. They know if a guy didn't get a good night's sleep. They know if a guy's arm is hanging. They know a lot of the other things you can't put a number to or quantify, and that's why managers are so vital to kind of filter down some of the information. But it's all there. It's a matter of how AJ wants to use it. But again, ultimately it comes down to AJ Hinch and his feel for his team.
With longtime MLB infielder, World Series champ, and Astros analyst Jeff Blum here on Overdrive, big story out of New York today. And I read a number of pieces on it that Luis Severino was having tipping issues in terms of him tipping pitches. And I guess he had this problem earlier in the season. And Aaron Boone actually came out and was like, yeah, we knew about it, but we thought we fixed it. And now there's video of him pitching in the ALDS against the Sox, and it was clear the Sox knew what was coming. Like, he was tipping pitches, and they knew when the fastball was coming, and he got rocked. Take us through that process as a batter. If you're in the box and your manager or someone, the batting coach is like, listen, we think we've picked up on a tell here. How does that affect the way you approach the at-bat?
Well, first of all, Alex Cora is notorious as a player, as a bench coach last year for the Houston Astros, and now as a manager. He was notorious for being able to pick up pitchers' tendencies out of the windup or out of the stretch, how they held their glove, and how they got to their pitches so they could anticipate what was coming. And it's tough to do, but he has a definite eye for it. As a hitter and as a ball club, just say an offense, if you're sitting in the dugout, as a player, you're watching to see where the glove is set when he comes into the set position. Is he telling you with how his glove moves or how his forearms move or how he comes set, which pitch is coming? Just for instance, if a guy is grabbing a fastball and putting it in his glove, you can tell when he moves off the fastball to the changeup. Usually the glove will get a little bit wider, and it's something you can pick up literally in the hitter's box looking out at the mound, and that can tell you, okay, he fanned his glove, it got a little bit bigger, I'm going to sit changeup. It's just a matter of making sure that pitch is in the zone. That's how those guys go out there and do that. Now, if he reaches into the glove with the fastball and doesn't make any movement, it's pretty safe to assume that sometimes that will be a fastball more often than not. Then you can sit on the fastball and make sure it's in the zone and go to crushing. But Alex Cora is one of those guys that really does a phenomenal job at doing that, because he did it his whole playing career, and now he's doing it in the dugout for his players.
Great stuff as always, Jeff. We really appreciate you doing this. Enjoy the ALCS and the rest of the way down in Houston.
No, it's going to be a blast. Good being on with you guys. Thanks.
There's Jeff Blum, longtime MLB infielder, Astros analyst. That's always cool stuff inside the game. Yeah. Like, because if you're a pitcher and you're tipping pitches against these kind of guys, you're in big trouble, man.
They'll eat you up.
They will eat you up. And The Athletic wrote a really good piece about, like, detailing the video of Severino, and I guess they knew a fastball was coming if he was out of the stretch and he stopped and looked at third, even though nobody was on third.
So it's like, kind of a routine, fastball.
Yeah, he had a routine going, and they picked up on it. And this guy was throwing heaters, and they're like,
yeah, I'll tee off
batting
that.
Practice. Like, that was the game Brock Holt hit hit for the cycle. Like, he got rocked. And
that's not cheating. That's just doing your due diligence.
Absolutely, man. It's your problem. If you tip pitches, that's your problem, right? If a quarterback is telling you what play's coming, that's his problem.
It's not the Patriots filming.
No.
What did the Patriots do again, allegedly?
Were they like cameras in the practice field?
Yeah, the Rams. I think it was the Rams. Wasn't it the Rams? Awesome. Yeah, they had somehow they had their cameras in during their practice, so they were picking up on all the schemes and all the plays.
I think it's awesome, even though it's, like, shady.
It's blatantly cheating, but we won't hold that against Bill Belichick and the Pats. Speaking of the Pats, Lawrence Guy, offensive lineman with the Pats, will join us in about 20 minutes. That'll be a cool interview leading up to a big Sunday night. Our Chiefs taking on the Pats at Foxborough. And you were surprised earlier. New England, last time I checked, 3.5-point favorites.
I just think Kansas City's been crushing everyone. They're the talk of the town in the NFL. But your boys,
absolute respect. That's respect. What it is.
Is the NFL less predictable this year than you've seen other years? I feel like it used to be some games were like the lock of the century, and it's not. Is it just because that Bills game threw everyone out of whack?
The Bills game really caused a lot of problems for people's whack, including
for their
ours.
Survivor pool night.
There's been ties. It has been weird. Yeah, it's been a weird season. You know, the Rams are undefeated. The Chiefs are undefeated. The Rams, I could see that coming. The Chiefs, I didn't think they'd go undefeated through five games. They've had a tough sked, too. Games on the road, at the Chargers, at the Steelers, at Denver. Now they're at New England. They get through this, you might be looking at a 14-15-win season.
Wow.
So we'll catch up with Lawrence Guy, O-lineman with the New England Patriots in the next hour. We're going to bring back Level of Concern as well, not only for the Toronto sports scene, but bunch of NHL teams.
I head to Buffalo
all over
next.
The sports scene.
I think Buffalo we can do that. Next. Yes, we might have to do that. That's coming up later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Lawrence Guy will join us in the next hour from the New England Patriots. Pats, Chiefs, Sunday night. Looking forward to it. Leafs are in Washington tomorrow night. Man, the Caps got beat up badly last night in Jersey. 6-0. So they will be looking for redemption.
You know who else looked really good last night was Colorado. And I know Buffalo like wasn't very good, but that Mikko Rantanen's the only guy in there on the scoring leaders other than the Leaf guys.
The four Leaf guys. And you're right. Someone sent a text in earlier saying that he was at the game, and he was like, Colorado looks unreal. Like, they're so fast in that top line.
Well, that McKinnon is something else.
Yeah. Like he went bar down last night.
That was a sick goal. He didn't even fire at that.
It was like a chip shot.
It was like a chip shot, but it was perfectly placed.
Well, Vanek did that last night, but it just didn't go in.
Like, he has that greasy little shot, too. Like, Vanek's a nifty player.
He's a little greaseball Vanek. Tom Vanek. Wheeling around.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nifty player, though. Like, the speed's
when all is said and done, the guy's going to play over 1,000 games and probably have, what, 800 points or something? Like...
Yeah, he's a nifty player, but he's just not for everyone.
He's in Detroit now. He's just mailing in the rest
Detroit,
of his career.
But Detroit loves him. They brought him back, right?
Well, you got to fill out a roster, right? Yeah. You need vets. And
He's their P.A. Parento.
Yeah, and they'll trade him at the deadline at some point and get a third-round pick. We should do that. We should do, like, a rundown of all of the picks that Thomas Vanek has gone the other way for.
I think,
and like what they've turned into.
Didn't Mark Bergevin get him for a second rounder at the deadline?
Like third rounder, remember?
From the island.
From Algar.
He might be up to 10 picks.
Yeah. All right. Let's look into that. Let's try to get all the details of how many times Tom Vanek has been traded and what's happened with those picks.
Yeah.
See if anybody hit like at least a double with any of them. Maybe a triple home run.
Put a team together with the picks that this guy's accumulated.
All right, so we'll get to that level of concern. Looking back on the Leaf win last night, teeing up the game tomorrow in Washington, and Lawrence Guy of the Patriots will join us. Final hour for the week up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.